So is on holidays, like you said. So you get me. We're going to look at the second chapter of Colossians today. Not just a trend. That's the name of the series. So I want to pay real close attention to it because I think today's sermon really emphasizes that. I think it's really going to have a deep meaning this week. So as we dive into Colossians, please keep that in mind. As Pastor Matt talked about, last week Paul was writing to the church in Colossae, and that he had two churches with issues, and new church had issues from within it, and he was trying to reach out to them and lead them away from the teachings of preachers because the preachers weren't preaching the gospel. Paul starts to get into the real reason of the letter in the second chapter. So he writes, "I want their hearts to be encouraged and joined together in love, so that they may have all of the riches of complete understanding and have the knowledge in God's mystery, Christ. In him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Paul is trying to deal with an issue in the church. He had already told them that he was thinking of them and praying for them, but it was the time to get to the head of the problem of why he was writing this letter. There were people who were preaching something that sounded good and that coincided with the beliefs of the society of the day, making it easy to be believed by the people that was listening. As Pastor Matt stated, the best lie has some truth to it. And that brings me to the first question. What are the false preachers of today? Please respond to those questions. We have hosts willing and able to respond to your input on those questions and interact. So please answer them. So what are false preachers today? Notice what I said. I said what, not who. I am really interested in what people think are the false preachers for today. I personally think, based on what I see going on today, we must have a bunch of false preachers. If you look at social media, there's a lot of preachers on that platform, or many platforms. Preachers on these programs are talking about social causes, the wrongs in the world, what has to be righted or just, and they definitely want to give their opinion on the topic. A lot of these messages have a strong appeal in today's world, and some of them make sense to us. We have been brought up in a world that tells us we have the right to our opinion. People can't tell us what we can do or what we don't do. That's what we believe. We must fight for our opinion. We see this all the time on social media. Or that we must speak out against a cause that, because it is suppressing our rights, does it actually matter if it applies to me or not? If it's suppressing my rights, then I got to fight for it. Gnosticism is the belief that Paul was trying to warn the church in Colossae about, the placing of knowledge above the gospels. But what he is saying has the same truth today. We are bombarded today by all kinds of information, some of it true and some of it not. I know you guys are all aware. There's a certain leader in the world that loves to talk about false news. And we all love to watch him on social media because it's kind of entertaining. But again, is it true or is it not? Some people have biases and some are right out lies. It comes at us from every direction on every device we have. and everything we watch on TV. It also has been reinforced because it becomes the topic of conversation for the day. We take those opinions to work or to our social groups and discuss them. We want to see what others think about them. We want to verify if our thoughts and opinions are the same as others. That leads me to the second question. What is the difference between information and knowledge? We have a ton of information coming at us all the time. Birthdays, anniversaries, family news, births, all fantastic stuff. I love seeing all of this information. But I also am getting more than just that. I'm also seeing arguments, opinions, what I need to buy, what I should say, what I need to do in every situation. But the scary part is that a lot of what's being discussed actually sounds reasonable and right. So what do we do with all this good-sounding information? I am saying this so no one will deceive you, arguments that sound reasonable. For I may be absent in the body, but I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see how well ordered you are and the strength of your faith in Christ. So as you can see, Paul is stating in this passage that we will not be fooled by clever arguments if we put our faith in Christ. And what he says, but we are inundated with information minute by minute. The amount of information and opinion is boundless. How are we to know what is right and what sounds right? How can we be wrong when we hear someone fighting rights and opinions? Because we want our own rights and our own opinions to be respected. And again, Paul tells Colossae, and I argue us, to go to Christ's word. It's easy to be swept up in this if we let ourselves listen to the information. I don't know how many stories we're exposed to in a day. It makes figuring out what is good and what is bad really hard. Just like the early church, it faced all this stuff that sounded really good. It makes sense when you hear it, and it appeals to our way of thinking. But as Paul was concerned, it's not good for the church of Colossae, but I think it's also not good for us. Which leads us to the third question. How do we determine fabrication from what is truth? This is one of the biggest problems I think we face today. We have never in history had this much access to people's opinions. But worse, we also have pressure to conform to that opinion. We want to put our thoughts out to the world on all of these matters. Struggle. Because when we do, we may be judged. People may jump on us and disagree and do it in a very public way. They may respond in a way that supports our cause or attacks us. So we feel the pressure. We daily have to think that if we're going to put a smiley face on someone's post or an angry face, most of the time, it doesn't even affect us one way or another, but we feel compelled to respond. But if we don't do it, we fear the consequences on not acting appropriately. We're scared to be judged on what we put out or what we don't put out. Will we be publicly attacked or criticized in the most far-reaching way possible? Never in the history of earth has someone been able to spread their opinion as far as we are able to today. But also, someone is able to attack their opinion in a way that is far-reaching. Now, I've seen this affected in so many different ways. I have seen parents decide not to parent their children, or on how to parent their children, based on
what other people are going to say. Or people get dragged into an argument. They get dragged into an argument on the internet, and they actually don't have anything to do with it. But no matter what they say in this argument, it gets twisted by one party or the next. So we're doomed either way. Paul had concerns with the people in the church in Colossae. They were starting to listen to popular preachers with this new belief. He was trying to give us the answer to the third question. It was his warning from afar. Even if he's not there in person or had not met them personally, he was trying to warn them. But his letter should have been one to listen to. Hey, if it had been nowadays, this should have been a post from a church leader or, in today's world, a main influencer. But as in today, it did not have the impact it should have. It was lost in the noise of preaching. Paul warned the church in this letter. Be careful that no one takes you captive, though philosophy and empty deceit based on human tradition. Through philosophy and empty deceit based on human tradition. Based on the elements of the world rather than Christ. For the entire fullness of God's nature dwells bodily in Christ. And you have been filled by him, and who is the head over every ruler and authority. Paul gives them a warning not to listen to people and believe blindly, but to put Christ's words first and judge the words being spoken by others with those words. As the gospel is told by Christ, he is the ultimate ruler and authority. So he's telling to weigh the teachings against the ultimate authority. It's not what Christ taught. If it's not what Christ taught them, then reject it. This was a person trying to teach something that made sense in the world today, of that day. And I think it also makes sense in the world today. But I think we have a harder time just because of all the information that's coming at us. We are not having to go listen to someone speak. We do not have to get dressed up, go listen to a speaker to get an opinion. It comes at us whether we want it or not. I too, myself, have to judge the information as it comes in against what Christ taught us. Paul reminds us that we've been made sinless by Christ's sacrifice on the cross. But it is also a charge to us. That's because we have been given this gift that we must stand by what he teaches us, the way we are to live and judge our actions. And that's by those teachings as well, in all things. And we are called to do that because of Christ's sacrifice. We have to pay the price by following what Christ did for us to earn reach through him, others. As Paul closes the chapter, he gives us a strong message on how we are to deal with what people tell us, what we should do or not do. Or in this world, do we give it a thumbs up or an angry face? Therefore, don't let anyone judge you in regard to food and drink, or in the matter of festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath day. These are shadows of what is to come. The substance is Christ. Let no one condemn you by delighting in ascetic practices and the worship of angels, claiming access to a visionary realm. Such people are inflated by empty notions of their unspiritual mind. He doesn't hold on to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and held together by its ligaments and tendons, grows with growth from God. If you died with Christ to the elements of the world, why do you live as you still belong to this world? Why do you submit to its regulations? Don't handle, don't taste, don't touch. All of these regulations refer to what's destined to perish by being used up. They are human commands and doctrines. Although these have a reputation for wisdom by promoting self-made religion, false humility, and severe treatment of the body, they are not of any value curbing self-indulgence. So what Paul is saying at the end of chapter 2 is him talking to the church in Colossae. But I think he's also talking to us in this Instagram and tweeting world. Listen, I think this church has a love of bashing social media. Don't look at what I'm saying about all of this and negate the good things of social media. I really love getting to connect with people I wouldn't get to see for years. I love your pictures of your family as well as my own. It helps us stay connected. There is a lot of good with social media. But we have to be very careful of what it says to us. Paul warns it is our actions that we have to be careful of with doing anything false preachers tell us to do. Hey, there is nothing wrong with being woke. Yes, I had to Google it. Please don't light up the pages with the comments and make our host answer them all. I had to look it up. But it means being sensitive to social injustices, especially racial ones. That's a good thing. But let's walk out and show everyone the love of Christ. Not just post the right image or the right hashtag. Rules, good or bad, when not filtered through Christ's love for us, cause us to believe in lies. Let's not make the same mistake and make social media and today's rule our new Gnosticism. I think if we can get out of our place in this world and show the love of Christ, we can feed a healthiness that's growing. But if we follow social media and what people say without checking it through the word of Christ, we run into the chance that all things good are not all good. All things that are told and are put out there may not be true. So today, as this world is suffering with pandemics and social media is driving all of this information towards us, or about social injustices or anything like that, we have to filter it through the word of God. Because otherwise, we run the chance of being like the early Colossians and start to believe more about what we feel is right than what we know is right. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to come before you today and worship you and lift you up, Lord. As we go through our days, Lord, I pray for wisdom and knowledge for all of us, Lord. Beyond knowledge as well, I pray for our hands and feet to reach out to those who need to know you and your love through us. Lord, the screen is a powerful tool to be used for your good. But with power, there has to be caution, Lord. Lord, help us weigh everything that we have being put into us, Lord, through your gospel and through your truth, Lord, so that we can reach those with your love, just like your son did when he sacrificed himself on the cross for us, Lord. We want to pay the price that we want, that he gave to us to be worthy of it, Lord. Worthy of reaching out and sharing the love you've already placed upon us and share it with others. We do this all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.